Welcome to the Features Podcast for second quarter 2010 of Gaming Insurrection. I'm the Editor-in-Chief, Lindsay Mosley, and I'm joined by Associate Editor, Jamie Mosley.
Yo, what's up?
And in this Features Podcast, we're talking about playing imports and how to do it. And also, import games that we really like that are probably in our collection. So, what's up, Jamie?
Not too much. Thinking about all those import games that we got out there that I really love to get my hands on, and the ones that we have that I love playing now, so.
Okay, fair enough. So, when did you start importing games?
I want to say that I started importing games on the original PlayStation. I take that back. It actually goes a little bit further. I went over a friend of mine's house, name is Ted, that I walked over his house one day, and he was playing his Sega Saturn one day and everything, and I was wondering, what are you doing, man? You switching out those cartridges like that just to play a game? What's up with that? And he said, well, just so you didn't know, that this game, X-Men vs. Street Fighter, didn't come out on America yet, and I would like to play it, so this is how I imported it in.
I see.
So that was the beginning of me playing imports right there. And after that, it was something I always wanted.
Okay. I'm trying to think when I first started playing imports. I think I was 19. In my column for this quarter, I stated that I was 19 when I first started playing. And I think that, I can't even remember what system it was on that I really started playing imports. But I want to say it was on PlayStation, but I could be wrong. I think shortly thereafter, well, actually, I take that back. It was on my Dreamcast. And I got my Dreamcast, I think, when I was like 19 or 20. So, I think I started playing, probably for fighting games. I'm fairly certain it was for fighting games, because I couldn't play RPGs. I can't read Japanese very well, like, at all. So, I started with fighting games, which, if you've ever paid any attention to imported fighting games, you'll know that there are characters in Japanese that they usually, in the game, they'll convert over to English. They'll actually translate it to English. And you need to know very little Japanese to be able to play an import fighting game. So, generally, those are the easiest ones to get started with. Another series, also, that's pretty good that you can play without knowing a whole lot of Japanese is Dance Dance Revolution on PlayStation. Simply because most, as was pointed out to me, most school-age children in Japan at the time could speak English and could read and write English as well. It's kind of like Spanish is in America, where it's like a second language that you take in school, Spanish or French. So, and mostly English is like used for business there. So, most kids now take it in school. So it's not like it's a foreign concept anymore. So, people can, the kids generally can read English, and they can, you know, I mean, they're pretty fluent, you know, even though it's not their native language. So, DDR was done with that in mind. And so, like, most people can read the menus in DDR without having to know any Japanese, mostly because it's in English. So, I think that was, I think actually probably DDR may have been the first one. If it wasn't on Dreamcast, if I wasn't importing on Dreamcast, it may have been DDR on PlayStation that I brought in and was first playing as an import game. It was probably DDR and probably Street Fighter that I started with, and then I moved up. Like, I still play import Street Fighter because, like Jamie said, I have an import. Like, I prefer the import versions of fighting games. So, like, X-Men versus Street Fighter. I've imported, actually, Marvel versus Street Fighter for Saturn. I think I have Vampire Savior on Saturn. I have the Japanese version of Vampire Savior. I have a copy of Project Justice Japanese. I have Rival Schools. It's called Rival Schools 2, and it's on PlayStation 1. So it's, I guess you could consider that like Rival Schools 2. But I have that as well. And those games especially are like much better. All of those that I listed are much better in Japanese than they are in America. And it's not really because, you know, American games suck or anything. It's just because that Japanese games tend to, I don't know, they tend to not cut things out when they bring a game, when they release a game in the country. Which a great example is Rival Schools in Japan compared to the American version. Rival Schools in Japan kept the board game. There's a board game where you can go through and interact with the other characters and make your own character. And that character has, like, based on their moves and interactions with the other characters, have different burning vigors, which is like the super moves of Rival Schools. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Capcom was like, oh, well, it would take too much to translate that, so we're not going to bring that to America. And besides, who's going to really want to, in America, who's really going to want to play a board game to make their character? I was like, I will. I'll play it. I mean, that, like, added so much to the game. And I just didn't understand why Capcom just didn't think about that before they did that. But, yeah, that's one of the few where the game is obviously superior.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I have to say about import games is, if it came out in an arcade, then usually when the, like in Japan, they get the home version, it's very, very similar to the arcade version. While,
yeah,
Americans, we tend to want to throw in other things that we think need to be added or make the game a lot easier, which doesn't necessarily mean if you make the game easier, makes it better. So, that's another feature that I always liked about imports is it's usually more arcade perfect if it's an arcade game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's, I tend to think that they have, because the game has come, generally, it used to be that the game was coming out there first, and then it was coming here. So, I mean, there's time to add stuff there before it comes out over here, where we may or may not take to it or not, you know, being that we're America. So, I think, let me state for the record exactly what games we, well, not necessarily games, but what systems we import on. I know for a fact we import on GameCube. It's everything that's in the list that we're showing you how to do in the feature this quarter. We have GameCube, PlayStation 2, PlayStation, Saturn, and Dreamcast. And I know some people might say, oh, PS2 is still kind of like this generation or whatever, but I think of PS2 as like a retro system now. Well, maybe not necessarily retro, but more, you know, it's not current generation anymore. It's not considered current generation. But on those five systems, I think we have a couple of import games. I know on GameCube we have Naruto 2. From Japan, and all of our import games are Japanese. Like, we don't import from any other region because I don't have PAL capable TVs or whatever, so I just don't even like bother doing it. I know we have on GameCube we have Naruto 2, and I think that's like the only one, but we do have the ability to like play Japanese games if we really want to, other Japanese games. What else do we have? Dreamcast is a big one that we have a lot of import games on. I have Super Street Fighter 2 X, which is like a Super Turbo, which was released in Japan only. It's Super Street Fighter 2X for matching service, because the matching service was only in Japan. Like, you could hook up and play people online and stuff. What else we got? Vampire Chronicles for matching service, which we've also done a review on. We've done a review on that for Dreamcast. And it was in, I want to say it was in first quarter. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't first quarter. It was fourth quarter 2009. This is the third or fourth quarter 2009. Definitely check out that review and see how we felt about that. What else we got on Dreamcast? DDR. Oh, I got DDR Second Mix and Club Mix. And we had something else. What else did we have?
Star Glider 8, I think. I think Star Glider is import too.
Yeah, I think we got the Japanese version of Star Gladiator. I think that's it on Dreamcast. I could be wrong about that, though. I know I've got the copy of Project Justice in Japanese, because I also have an American copy, which American copies tended not to work. So, if you could get a Japanese copy, that was probably a good thing. What else? I think that's it on Dreamcast for import that I know of. And those were also the most expensive for me. Those were easily the most expensive, because it was like, yeah, can we get... Actually, I take that back. I have Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo for matching service, for Dreamcast. So, that's the other one. But the majority of them were like $60. I know for a fact they were like $60 each. The Club Mix, I think that was one I got on eBay. And I spent maybe like $40 for it. What we got on PlayStation?
The original PlayStation, I know you have some Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah, I got, I think I have third mix now. Third, fourth, and fifth mix. I think. I know I got fourth and fifth mix. I went back and bought fourth and fifth mix. I want to say I have third mix, but I don't know right off the top. Like, I don't remember right off the top of my head. Because I very rarely play it. Like, I'll just play Step Mania, or I play Extreme, so I can play. Or I play, like, the PS2 versions.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what else we had on the on original PlayStation. Other than we had Rival Schools, too.
Yeah. And I think that might be it on there, too.
That might be it. On the PlayStation 2, we have one of the Samurai Showdowns.
Yeah, on PlayStation 2, yeah, we got Samurai Spirits.
Yeah, Samurai Spirits, yeah.
And I know we have DDR. We have all of the DDR mixes released on PS2, except for... Well, no, actually, I got all of those, too. I got Supernova. I have everything from 6th Mix to 7th Mix, 8th Mix, Supernova. But my Supernova and my Supernova 2 are the American versions. But I have Japanese 6th, 7th, and 8th Mix, because those are, like, the best versions. A friend of mine, and I have Party Collection, which was only released in Japan. A friend of mine was very kind enough to give me those. So, if you're listening, thank you, Justin. But we also have, what else? We've got fighting games. I know we've got some fighting games. We've got Vampire Collection. Which I got from, I remember ordering that from PlayAsia.
We got Gara.
Yeah, we got Garou Mark of the Wolves. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have it on Dreamcast. Which, Garou Mark of the Wolves was a good import. Oh, also, I have Guilty Gear X on Dreamcast, now that I'm thinking about it. I have Guilty Gear X on Dreamcast, and I have Capcom vs. SNK 2. I have the Japanese version of that on Dreamcast, because it didn't come out on Dreamcast here. It came out on PlayStation 2. In America. Only. Because by then, the Dreamcast had already, like, gone by the wayside. But yeah, we have... And then... Just to pop into Saturn a little bit, we've got Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter, Vampire Savior, because we're big vampire fans. What else we got on?
X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Yeah, we got X-Men versus Street Fighter. I remember going and finding that for you. Oh, we also imported, what's the little puzzle fighter? Not the puzzle fighter, but the
Pocket Fighter.
Pocket Fighter, yeah. Because then we wound up getting it also in Street Fighter Alpha 3, the Street Fighter Alpha collection in America. But, I mean, it's like, we tend to, like, import only on our main consoles. We don't really do, like, Game Boy and DS and, you know, Game Boys and DS and PSP just simply because, I mean, it's full region, but... I really haven't come across anything that, like, I want to play Japanese on any of those just yet. I mean, really nothing that I don't already have that hasn't come out in America that's on DS that I want to play, so. And, well, and that's part of the problem, because, like, one of the really good things about the DS is that it is region-free, and has been so with every iteration of Game Boy, so, that's kind of fun. But, so, what do you think is the easiest one to import on of the consoles that we listed? What do you think is the easiest one to get started with?
The GameCube's the easiest, by far. All you have to do with the GameCube is pop in your, you can pop in your Code Breaker.
Or your, Action Replay.
Or your Action Replay. You can pop that in. You can load up your codes if you want to. And they'll prompt you to take out the disc. You take the disc out. You put in your import game. You pop it in. You hit the button. And you start up playing. Can't get any easier than that.
Yeah. Well, Dreamcast is pretty much the same way, too. Yeah. And I've always been a fan of the fact that the Dreamcast was very easy to import on. Because that was the game for... That was the system for... fighting games. Oh my gosh. Like, if you could get some Japanese fighting games on that system, man, that was like the greatest thing in the world. I think those two are the easiest. I think the hardest is probably PlayStation 2. And when we say PlayStation 2, by the way, people, we mean like the original thick station. We're not talking about like the slimline one with the flip tops and all that. We're talking about thick station, like version 10 and below, which were awesome because once you figured out how to do it, you could easily like play import games on there. I mean, once I got good at it, because I almost broke my PlayStation 2. This is a funny story. When I first got my DDR games from my friend Justin. I was all gung ho and excited because I sent him some money and he sent me some discs. And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna play some DDR. I'm gonna get me some real live Japanese DDR. So I go home, I get my discs. Okay, he sent them to me in the mail. And I had already ordered my Swap Magic disc, which, if you read the feature, you'll see that that's one of the things you need for playing import games on your PS2. So anyway, I get my Swap Magic disc, and I go and I get home from work and test my disc. Well, the first time I went to do it, I swear I almost broke my PS2. Like, just straight broke it. Because you have to take the front part of the PS2 logo off on the disc tray, which is also in our feature. I mentioned that in the feature. And when I went to go pop the logo off, which I did, start doing the process of swapping discs, and I popped the latch in the side to the right, well, my tray got stuck. So I'm like, oh crap, I just broke my PS2. I cannot afford to buy another PS2. I just bought this thing like 2 years ago. Because I bought my PS2 in like 2004. Or 2003. It was like the beginning of 2000. Actually, it was the beginning of 2004. I bought mine. I was a little late to the party. But But I, like, was freaking out because I was like, oh my god, I just broke my PS2. I can't afford to buy another one. You know, I just bought this one. What am I going to do? Oh god, oh god, oh god. So then I remembered I had these little mini pliers sitting around. So I grabbed my pliers and I wound up having to yank the tray door out and make sure that it was still, you know, intact inside. And, you know, I mean, I swapped my disc and everything and it worked after that, but Lord knows I was scared. The first three times I did it, I swore I was going to break my PS2. But the procedure is a little tricky if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know what to look for. But once you do it, you know, like three or four times, you get the hang of it. As a matter of fact, I've lost the front logo on my PS2, so it's not even there anymore. And I didn't actually break it. I successfully managed to get my games up and working, so I think I was a little afraid there for a good bit, just because I was scared I was going to break it. And I still have the same PS2, like I've not gotten a slimline one, just because I didn't want to go through swapping discs and all that, and putting a new flip top on, and I didn't feel like going through all that, so I've kept the same PS2.
Well, I know back in my day when we first started playing imports, what we did was we got a mod chip and put it in a Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
Which technically is easy when you want to play imports, but at the same time, to put in the mod chip wasn't necessarily the easiest thing.
No.
In the beginning, when the Dreamcast first came out, people wouldn't try to mod it. And then someone decided to open up and said, you know, this is really easy. I'll show you.
And the soldering and all that.
They sent out a fact on to everyone who can read it. And I remember Namco actually sending us a letter saying to any manager who got that fact to not mod any Dreamcast whatsoever. Well, about the time that I got the letter from Namco, I had already modded like six of them. So I was like, well, ain't no point in me stopping now unless someone's going to get me, you know, ain't no point. I mean, people were paying me. I got paid $80 for each one I had to mod.
Wow.
And they gave me everything, so they're basically just paying me $80 for labor. So, I might have told them, you know, it's going to take me a couple days. And it did take me a couple days because I had to find time in my schedule to do it. But I did it. But I got the understanding, years later, I got the understanding from the people that they thought it actually took me from the time they gave me the game, the system, that it took me that many days to mod the game. I was like, no, it maybe took me about an hour and a half at best, if I was taking my time. But no, it didn't take those days. And I was like, we paid you $80. It still works? Yeah, still works. Okay, it was $80 worth.
I remember researching mod tips and all, and one of the stores that we go to that sponsors us very kindly is Software Seconds, and they offered to do mod chips for a variety of systems, and they sell import games. And I think that's probably the first place that I really saw import games, is because it's an import shop in Columbia, South Carolina. And so that was where I first heard of mod chips, but I never went the route of mod chips, even though they sell systems already modded. Like, you can go in there and say, yeah, I want a modded Dreamcast. And, of course, now it's like 60. Well, it might be 30. It used to be $30 more than what it cost, you know, to get just a regular Dreamcast. But, because you were paying for the fact that they had to install a chip in there. They just got a standard issue Dreamcast and then put a chip in. So, I like to think that it, that's where it rubbed off on me, was going out there on the weekends and, you know, just looking through piles and piles and piles of games and looking at import games and you know, seeing stuff that I wanted to play. But, and if I buy import games now, if I'm in Columbia, I go there. And because our other sponsor, Play and Trade, doesn't have, I mean, they have import games, but not a whole lot. So, he has very, very few there at that Play and Trade. So, I try not to, like, get my hopes up and, think that I'm going to get an import game in there. Which, by the way, taking a break from our podcast, visit our sponsors in Colombia. That would be wonderful. But yes, I tend to go out to Software Seconds if I want to go on a brick and mortar store and buy imports. Now, if I want to buy, like, if I'm going to do it online, I go to Play Asia, which is also one of our affiliates. Because we're in the affiliate program. Gaming Insurrection is, at least. And I know Yes Asia is pretty good. Modchipstore.com is where I bought my swap disc from years ago. And they were pretty fast and reliable. You always want to look for reliable places online. Places that aren't going to rip you off, take your money, and, you know, you never get a product or anything. Also, check out NCSX.com. That's National Console Support. They've been around for a very long time. A very, very long time. And I've heard nothing but good things about them. I've never had to order anything from them, but I've always heard really good things about them. And that's generally, like, where some people go as their first stop. I tend to go to Play Asia the most, because I've dealt with them for years now, and I've had nothing but good experiences with them. Now, it used to take a little bit of time to get my product and stuff, but I wasn't ripped off. It came in pristine condition, like it wasn't all broken up when it got here. And it works. And they have a pretty large selection of stuff. Especially for people like me who look for accessories. Such as the coder's cable. I think that's where I got my coder's cable from for the Dreamcast. Now, I never have used the coder's cable, but I got one from there. So, yeah, I highly recommend Play Asia and National Console Support. NCSX.com if you can buy stuff from them. Yes Asia, is pretty good too. I've heard really good things about them too. If you really want to get hooked up with some good places to buy stuff online. And I know also as a side note to this, Software Seconds has an eBay site. Now, I haven't seen any import games on there recently, but it's also worthy checking out. And I think they even take telephone orders if you want to do that. You want to hit them up there and get stuff. They're pretty good about at least trying to track something down. Mike Mistoler, who is the owner of Software Seconds, is a longtime friend of ours and is a very cool guy. So, you know, don't be afraid to call and ask for Mike. Tell him we sent you. I'm sure he will appreciate that. But I think overall, importing isn't hard. You really need to do research. First thing. You really need to do research for the system that you want to import on, for especially retro games. Now, we've left out some of the cartridge, like the cartridge-based systems, such as the NES and the Super NES, because you gotta have, like, a special cartridge adapter for it, for some of them. Or you could install a mod chip in those. But when I was looking through which systems, retro systems, that I would import on, The ones that we've listed, the five that we've listed, are easily the easiest ones to import on. I mean, it doesn't take any time, and also you don't need very much to import on these systems. I mean, at the most, you might spend $30, maybe. I mean, you need to have the right tools, so. You know, read our our feature and see what tools we suggest, because you don't necessarily have to have the tools that we suggest. It's just, it's suggestions. Stuff that we found makes, you know, importing the game a little bit easier. So, you know, keep an eye out for it, and definitely, you know, do your research and learn about what you're doing before you start doing it, and consider, you know, do you want to go the route of a mod chip or whatever. So, any parting thoughts on importing, Jamie? You
think? I will say, although we usually talk about retro games and everything, I know that people out there, at least trying, if they're not successfully doing it as a collective whole, now, importing on the Microsoft Xbox 360. And I know there's a few chips out there, but just so you know that once you do start modding the Xbox 360 and you get the Red Rings of Death,
or E74,
or the E74 era, Microsoft would not work on that. Nope. They'll actually charge you enough for you to go out and buy another system. Just so you know.
All of the major this generation consoles have adopted that policy, actually. Nintendo does too. It'll, matter of fact, if you update your system and you got a chip in it, it will brick it up in a heartbeat. So, you know, be careful if you're going this generation and doing it, because if you do it and you mod your system and then you get like an E74 and you got to send it into Microsoft, they will charge you at least $200. I mean, that's like maybe a high end estimate, but they're going to charge you for it. They're not going to be like, oh, we'll fix it for you, even though you modded our product and broke your warranty. You know, no, they're not going to do that. Matter of fact, Nintendo has already said, if you mod a Wii and you put the homebrew channel on there and then you got to send in your Wii for any reason, or if you update it and you brick it up, and that's the reason why it's bricked up, they will charge you to fix it. That's saying they even bother to fix it. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, people, be aware and be careful. But, you know, old school, yeah, I got no problem with with that, because they're not going to fix it anyway. Yeah, I mean, you could maybe send it to Nintendo support, you know, to technical support centers, but you're just better off buying another one these days, because, you know, it's cheap as crap. So, anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast for our features segment. Keep a lookout for us, and definitely read the review and the procedures feature that we're running online with this podcast. Read through it. See what you can come up with, and if you like it, comment on it, because we're going to have a whole bunch of videos dedicated to this, and they should be on our YouTube channel right now, as you're listening to this. They will be on our YouTube channel, and they're dedicated to all five systems that we've talked about in this feature podcast, about how to import and our tools that we suggest, and how to get it going, and how to enjoy your import systems. Thank you for listening.